This is Phil Farron. And I am driving around. It's Thursday today. We have just a few minutes ago flown back into town from an anniversary vacation, and we are now trying to decide if we're gonna just huddle down for the next couple of days or if we're gonna take a quick run to Branson. It's really gonna be depend on what Nett wants to do, and so she's deciding at this point. She likes being home, and traveling is fun as well, but she does like the house and like the quiet and the peace of the house. So we'll see. We may go to Branson. We may not. I've left part of the packing in the car just in case. So we'll see. We'll talk about that a little later and figure out what she'd like to do. We did just finish up a couple of days driving, so obviously she's a little tired from that. And yada, yada, yada. We'll see. Anyways, so work was non-existent this week. Answered a couple of questions, but that was about it. Since we were getting ready to go on this trip. Since we went on this trip, then, of course, I kind of hovered a little bit and watched a few things and responded to a few things where I knew I had like the one piece of information that would move this along quickly. So there were a couple of times when I hopped in and said, okay, I think you need to talk to so-and-so and so about this. But aside from that, really didn't do any work this week. So it was a good week. So didn't get much accomplished. As far as writing goes, I got a little bit accomplished this week. Not a ton. Simply because we were traveling and driving and going places and yada, 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 yada. I did get some costume stuff done this week, so made a few refinements to the Wear It Pink / The Sweetest Day costume. So I've almost got that all done. I need to fix up a little apron for that. Aside from that, we're in pretty good shape there. Oh, and I've got to make some extenders for the ruffs, they're called. The Victorian ruff is that thing that has the lace or the ribbon that goes up and down and up and down and up and down, and it stands out from the collar or from the neck, and it goes all the way around. It's called a ruff, if I remember correctly. And I've got some of those, but they just have magnetic closures, and I made some kind of fluffy things to go underneath them for this Wear It Pink / Sweetest Day costume, and that makes the closures not close. So I got some more magnets and I got some felt, and I'm just gonna make little extenders to snap in there and open that up a little bit, so it'll be fine. I just don't have those done yet, and I don't have the apron done yet, but that's like an evening's worth of work, so that's no big deal. Gotta get that out of the way. Was able to make some progress, I think, on finding the right things for the Lion King on Broadway costume. It already has what is supposed to be a mane on the shoulders that's made out of tulle. It's a lot of wispy little pieces of tulle. It's kind of a taupe, brown taupe color. And nobody has that color, because it's not a real exciting color. But it fits well with the costume, and I had already known that I was going to do the mask, probably in some type of an antiqued gold type thing. And so I was looking in that color family of either trying to find some brown or trying to find something to go with it. And we dropped in several places, looked at several things, couldn't find anything to match, blah, 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 blah. Then one evening we were at the Walmart, and in the Walmart in, Econger, Florence? Maybe it was the Florence. It was over in Ohio. It was right below Cincinnati in Kentucky. And found an antique gold tulle that would work. Could never find anyone to cut me any of it. Then we were in Poplar Bluff. I found it there, and there was a guy standing there. I said, would you be able to cut me some fabric? He said, yes, I could. So I just, it was a dollar a yard, and there was 14 yards on it, so I just bought the whole thing. Tried it out a little bit. I think it's going to work. Got a little more work to do there, so I have this cape that has kind of a shoulder piece on it that has a lion's mane on it, and the rest is this brown tulle for a long cape. And then there's a bodysuit underneath it. Both of them have this imprint of a lion on them. And then, of course, I'm working on the headpiece. But the mane needs to be, it's got to have more punch to it. So I needed something I could build that out with, and I have that now. Yay. And I've got, surprisingly enough, having gone to fabric stores, having gone to Michael's, surprisingly enough, I found everything I needed at the Walmart. So that was fun, and I was able to get all the supplies for that, so I have those now, so I'll work on that. So well, that's good. Tomorrow is Love People Day, which is easy. It's an inflatable 7-foot-tall grizzly bear for Love People Day, who has made himself a shirt that says, I love peoples, and free herks, because, you know, grizzlies love people too. They're crunchy. So, so anyways, Love People Day is really a great holiday. It's a great holiday. It's the 30th. It's the last day of September. Really great holiday. And it's just a time when, you know, you can be kind to others, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so we did just get back into town at about 2:30. It's 3:30 now. Got the car all unloaded. We're getting ready for small groups tonight. I'm going to try to go home and get all the finances taken care of, because I didn't do that last night. Get that taken care of before small groups, and then Net and I will have to have a little discussion and figure out what we're going to do through the weekend. And then we'll go from there. So our old dog is still over at Ray's, which is on the south end of town. And so Ned is talking about going and getting Bella at this point. If she does go and get Bella, then, you know, that's going to be that. Because once we have Bella, we'll just stay in town. And Lynette may be missing Bella, so, which is just fine. It's just fine. Anyway, so this was an interesting trip. We went to Cincinnati, Ohio, because the Ark Encounter is about 30, 40 minutes south of Cincinnati, Ohio. And it's a very industrious undertaking. I mean, it's pretty interesting. I think it's worth seeing. I think it's worth supporting. There's a lot of artistic license with it, because obviously there aren't that many verses about Noah and the Ark and building the Ark. We have some proportions. We have some materials. We have some idea of content, but there's obviously a lot of missing pieces, and the Bible has that story. That story is not intended to be a blueprint for how to build an ark or how to sustain all those animals. It's meant to be a story about redemption. So there's a lot of openings there. One of the things that's great about going to see the Ark is it does give you some sense of the proportions. I had seen some scientific investigations into just the dimensions of the Ark and putting the thing in wave pools to see how stable it would be, and it's scoring quite high and on the stability standpoint because of the specific dimensions and all that stuff. But they're just dimensions in your head. They're not really, you can't, you cannot get a sense of the scope and the size until you're kind of standing under this huge vessel that's three levels high. And so it's just from that perspective, from walking around the inside of it, getting a sense of space inside of it, it's really, really interesting. There's a lot of discussions to be had about the particulars of how that story would literally work out. It is good to realize that Noah would have had, the minimum estimate is that Noah would have had 75 years, basically, to build this ark. It is a massive undertaking, but with he and his sons working, and potentially with some hired help, 75 years is a long time. And the patriarchs did apparently enjoy better health than us, because scripture records that they've lived hundreds of years. And we assume that those hundreds of years were in good health. So given all of that, I think it's doable, depending on who Noah was and what kind of a project manager he was. I think, it is doable to produce that size of a structure in 75 years. What is interesting is not only do they just have the structure there, but they have attempted to say, okay, so here's the technology we think Noah had. Here's what he needed to accomplish. And so what tools could he bring to bear, and what could be built to help him manage the tasks that needed to be managed on a boat this size with this many animals in it? And so it's interesting to see them work out the details of that. Is that what it actually was? No idea. Because we're not told. So there's just absolutely no idea. No way to know whether that was actually the way it was, or if they had worked something completely different out. The fact is, the ancient man built a lot of incredible things all through the ancient world. You go from the pyramids to the walls that the Incas built to all over North America. There are things that are done with incredible precision. You look at something like Göbekli Tepe, and there's just a lot of instances around the world of ancient man doing amazing things. So, do I think it's possible for Noah to build that type of vessel over 75 years? Yeah, sure. It does give you a real sense of scope to be standing there. They did show they postulated that there were a bunch of cages that were built inside, and there were feeding systems, and then there was waste removal systems, and they imagined doing all of those things just using the technologies that Noah would have had. And so it's interesting to see modern man working out the details as if he was just using those tools. It's worth going and seeing. It is Ken Ham's organization, Answers in Genesis, who has, done a lot of work in terms of viewpoints from creationism, and he may have done some work on intelligent design, but literal interpretations of the Bible. And, you know, good for him. Good for him. Because they found a lot of backers, because I don't know how much that thing cost to build. But I thought it was well done just from a technology standpoint and from a people management standpoint in terms of moving people, providing for the crowds and that sort of thing. There was, of course, we're later in the year now. School has already started back up. And so there were a non-trivial number of people there. But it wasn't jam-packed. It was very comfortable, and I thought the whole thing was well done, and it was fascinating. It was an interesting interpretation and extrapolation against what Scripture tells us occurred. I do think we have to recognize that there are narratives all around the world about a flood. And either all of those tie back into the single biblical narrative, or all of those are running in parallel, and anything that refers to Noah and his family as being the only survivors, you know, well, maybe that is just a fact of the writer focusing on that area, just like sometimes it says, you know, and they conquered the entire world. And okay, well, we know they only conquered, you know, the area of Europe through the Middle East down into pieces of Africa. We know they didn't necessarily go over and conquer the Americas, et cetera, but within the context of that writer, when the writer says conquered the entire world, they really mean they conquered the known world. So, you know, all those things, a little wiggle room in them, is fine. But there are ancient flood narratives, and who knows how God worked this all out. Even if Noah and his family were the only survivors, and they saved some of the animals, and that just concerned the area around the Middle East, it's still pretty incredible that you have someone who hears from God and spends 75 years building a boat, and when everything is ready, then the floods come. As to how the floods came, there are speculations. They don't talk about this in the Ark experience, but obviously there are speculations about the Younger Dryas period, where there obviously was a huge impact or series of impacts of asteroids that just devastated the Earth. And there are places, I think there's a place in Canada, where there is vast stretches of undulating land that looks exactly like waters flooded across it, pounded, just, and huge, huge amounts of waters. And, you know, so something happened. And so exactly what happened, how it happened, what's, you know, who knows? But it is very interesting. And it's fun to see, and it's fun to see someone's interpretation, and good for them. You know, I think they did a great job, and I'm glad they were the ones that had to come up with all the presuppositions and not me. So having said that, I'm going to go upload this podcast. I'm going to get some finances done, and we are going to have small groups tonight and then figure out what we're doing for the rest of the afternoon. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.